Somar Mix.
What is going on, guys? Welcome back to the True New Podcast, little me. Ooh, it's here. Unfortunately, Chu cannot join us today, but my little brother's here, and he would not miss this interview for the world.
No, I would not.
So, I know everybody's tuning in right now. I want to say thank you to everybody, all our sponsors. Thank you very much for tuning in and helping us out where we're at right now and getting great guests on the show. Tonight, we're going to take you back to the early 90s. Like my son says, Dad, you're old. You're from the 1900s.
Hey,
no, watch it. But we're going to go back to the 1990, I believe it was 92, 93, I believe. Little show called Boy Meets World. A legendary show. But why am I going to keep yapping here? Let me just say, introduce you to the guest we have today. You all know him as Mr. Tyler Quinn on the podcast. What's going on, Mr. Quinn?
How you guys doing? What's happening? That was the most epic beginning. That was fantastic. Well,
thank you very much.
I did need to do something. I'm sorry.
What's up, man? Huge fan.
Oh, that's great. Welcome. Okay, I'm so glad to be here.
First of all, I want to say thank you, and it's an honor to have you on the podcast. The reason I reached out to you is like we have a lot of RGV here down in South Texas. We have a lot of RGV actors that are trying to get into the biz, and having you on the pod kind of connects a little bit more to give us a more or less of an idea. You know, what are the regulations to go through? What schooling did you get, or how is that you got into the acting world, the entertainment business? You know,
so that's an interesting topic. I mean, now I think it's easier than it's ever been in terms of, you know, the business is sort of welcome to all who would approach. I mean, now you can do self-tape and you can. Right. You're carrying around a movie camera in your back pocket with these cell phones, you know?
Right, exactly. So
we didn't have that when I was first starting out.
I hear you. So what we want to do is we want to get to know you, Mr. Quinn. We want to know where you're from, where it all started, and how you got to where you're at, all right? So the mic's all yours. Go ahead.
I just got back yesterday, actually, from the state of my birth. I was born in Connecticut, and we were doing a 90s Comic-Con in Hartford, Connecticut. And that's actually the second one I've done. The first one I did was back in Tampa last year.
Right.
And we were able to connect with so many Boy Meets World fans of the show.
Oh, my goodness.
It was incredible, the turnout for the show, and to meet everyone and to hear stories about how much the show means to them. And then we did a panel on Saturday.
Right.
There was 1,000 people. And then I heard as the day progressed that our panel was the biggest and the best and the most populated panel of all the panels of all the shows that were there.
Right.
So it was pretty incredible.
Well, going back, I mean, what being a fan of the show when it first started, then eventually you came in, and I'm not sure what season that was. You first came in. Can you remind me on that?
I came in second season.
The second season. Okay.
Yeah. Right. And the show actually, I think, started in 93.
No. Okay. All right.
And it ran for 7 seasons until I think the year 2000.
Now, as far as the acting world, I mean, I know, did you go to schooling or to college for this to actually get into the arts?
I went to I guess you could call it a school, but it was more of a workshop.
Okay.
I think I had gone to the workshop, and there were, you know, when I was first starting out in the business, back in 1982 is when I really started professionally. There were acting workshops, classes that you could go to. I mean, I'm sure people that, you know, they would go to college and take acting courses and do drama in college. But, you know, in California, in LA, there were workshops all over the place. And you would go in and audition for the workshop. And then if they saw that you had something or had some type of talent or whatever, that you could start paying to take acting workshop classes, cold readings and scene study and character work and stuff like that. So I did that for a number of years, but you don't have to. It's not required. It's not like they look at your resume and say, well, you have no training, so you have no ability. If you're a natural and you go in and you send in an audition and you're great, then it doesn't matter.
Right. So I mean, let's start off. Can you share with us how you got the role for Mr. Turner on Boy Meets World? Were there a lot of people auditioning for that in particular spot?
There usually always is, but right. What's interesting about it is, I've told this story before, but my experience with Boy Meets World goes way back to the very beginning. Mm-hmm. I had met Michael Jacobs, who created the show, on a pilot that he had cast me in the year previous, in 1993. He was doing a pilot called Black Sheep. And okay. It was me, Jason Bateman, Willie Garson, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, and Jana Marie Huff.
Wow.
Yeah. And this was back when we were all really just kind of like in the beginning stages of our career. Jeffrey hadn't really done a whole lot. Yeah. Willie was just, kind of starting out as well. And Jason was the only one that really had a name when he did his show in the 80s.
Right.
But we thought we had something really special, because I thought the cast was something really special. I thought Michael was a great producer, writer. And one day Willie had come to me at the commissary. We were filming over at Disney. Mm-hmm. And he goes, all right, so I got the scoop. He goes, Michael is writing another pilot as he's working on this one. And I said, okay. And he goes, it's called the Ben Savage Project right now.
Uh-oh.
So I didn't quite connect the name. I didn't know the name Ben Savage, and I didn't really connect him to Fred. So yeah. I didn't know what it was. And I just said, well, it doesn't matter because the show that we're working on right now is going to be his hit show. This is his hit right now.
Yeah.
So famous last words, our show didn't get picked up. And about a week later, Michael and I had sort of developed this really good friendship, working relationship together as we were working on that pilot. And he called me into his office and he said, listen, I want you to read for this pilot that I'm doing. And he goes, and I want you to read for the part of Alan Matthews. And I didn't know anything about the show. So I said, sure, I'll read for it. So I read for it. And he goes, my only problem is, he goes, I think the network is going to think you sort of play too young to be the dad. And I was about 10 years too young, really, okay, at that time. So he said, come back tomorrow or whatever, dress a little bit more, kind of conservative, more dad-like. And I came back the next day and read for the director and everybody. They loved me and they brought me to network. And that's where I first met Ben.
Okay.
I think Ben was at the time 12, I think.
Oh my goodness.
And he and I read together at network over at ABC it was a lot of fun to work with Ben, but Michael had called me the next day and said, the network thinks you're too young, so it's not going to work. So the following year, as I said, Mike and I were, good friends and stuff. So he called me and he goes, hey, what's going on? He goes, let's go to lunch. I said, okay. So I come up to his office and he said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm just trying to get work, going on auditions, trying to get a pilot. And he goes, well, you could read for the show that I'm doing, Boy Meets World. He goes, we're trying to sort of expand the universe. And he goes, but you could read for this part. And he goes, the only problem, he goes, the part is, it's part of an ensemble cast. So it's not a lead role. And I said, okay, so, and he goes, but some weeks you're not going to really have more than a few lines. And I said, I don't care. I'm not the kind of actor that counts lines,
Right.
So he had me read for it. And he goes, I think it would be fantastic. And then I went to network and read for it. And now here we are.
There you go. Yeah. So yeah. I mean, being on the set, while working on the set, were there any memorable moments? I mean, through the seasons that you were there, I mean, something that stuck with you?
Man, so, so many memorable moments. And yet what's really funny is most of my memorable moments and the times that are so special to me are all behind the scenes stuff. It's not really necessarily the things that you guys have watched, being right, fans of the show. Right. Will and I became like brothers on that show. He and I were just extremely close. We're still extremely close to this day. So we used to have a lot of fun. We laughed and played jokes on each other. And it's just, you know, stuff like that was the most special stuff for me, being on the show and just getting together for table reads in the morning before we would start the week. Mm-hmm. And rehearsing with the cast and having dinners and getting ready for show night. Those are all the things that were really special. And then we had this special thing where every night before the actual show would start, we'd all get together, we'd gather behind the stage and we'd join hands and we would do what we would call the scream. And we would scream real loud, break hands, and then go out and do the show. So those were the times that were real special for me.
Yeah, the show itself was had a very big impact in a lot of through when I was in actually the show came out when I was in high school, but still sat down and watched it because it was a great show.
Friday nights.
had to watch it. Yeah. And the thing is that it connected with it made a lot of impact on a lot of viewers. When you go out to these cons or like you do and go as a cast and to do signings and stuff, do you have any special moments with the viewers that tell you about special moments that you've had on screen?
Oh yeah. I mean, it never ceases to amaze me when people share with me, you know, very, very intimate emotional things about their lives and about how the show really helped them and connected them to me and my character. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, whenever we take pictures or whatever, when they put their arm around me, they're literally shaking. And to me, it just always amazes me that first of all, that anybody remembers me from anything, especially in this day and age where it's just a new now next generation where there's so many options for entertainment and everything is just screaming for your attention. To remember me from a show that I did 30 years ago is unimaginable to me. Right. And not only do they remember, but they remember in incredibly vivid detail. And it to this moment, I mean, I've had people cry when they meet me and I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you being serious? Like, and it's amazing to me. So it's always wonderful to be able to have those kinds of moments. And just, you know, even the welcome that you guys gave me, it's something's pretty special.
Yeah,
it's just memories. It's just memories that we hold, you know, dearly with us and your memory.
Yeah. It's part of our childhood, yeah.
Yeah, but the fact that you guys have such enduring memories of that and that it means so much, it's incredible. Like I said, that it's now everything is new now next, like next. And they, you know, a lot of shows, like one of the things that happened at the panel on this past Saturday, Bill Daniels, who was Mr. Feeney, he was in a show called, he was in a show called Saint Elsewhere. I don't know if you guys remember that
show. Yes.
Okay. Well, when we were doing the panel, I think one of the people on the panel, I don't know if it was his wife, Bonnie, or somebody had mentioned the show Saint Elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And maybe three people clapped like, oh, yeah, hey. But when we were, you know, back in like 93 or whatever, and I know St. Elsewhere was in the 80s, late 80s. That show was like the biggest Emmy-winning show of the time. Mm-hmm. And it's like, nobody talks about it.
Yeah, right.
And when we did Boy Meets World, our show was really kind of regarded as like a kid's show.
Right.
And, you know, no one serious. Ours was like the little show that could. It was like we were a kid show and it was popular, but it was an Emmy award winning show. But now here we are 30 years later and our show is so much more popular than those shows. It's amazing to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, and coming to that, as far as like the reboot, I know I watched bits and pieces of it, of the Girl Meets World. And I know you came out in two or three episodes, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, I did three of them.
Three episodes. And I mean, when they asked you to come back for that in particular, I mean, did the memories all rush back all at once?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was great to see Ben on the set. And it was like literally no time had passed between him and I, between Danielle and I. The only thing I was nervous about was that it had been at least at that time, I think it had been like 25 years or 20 something years since I had played that character. And you're always concern that, you know, that ship has sailed and you're going to try to pick it up again and everybody's going to go, yeah, okay, whatever. But the reception and the welcome for that character back into that world was, like I said, it's incredible. And it was wonderful to be able to do it and to have that sort of moment of closure between my character and Ryder's character.
Right.
Was, I think, something that the audience really deserved, and I'm glad they did it.
I mean, it was cool seeing Mr. Turner for the first time. Yeah. I know everybody wanted a teacher like that. Everybody wanted a cool teacher. And the guy who owned the motorcycle. We wanted that cool teacher.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody could reach your level, Mr. Quinn.
Hey, I take that as a great compliment.
Yeah, you actually touched one of my best friend's hearts, and he wanted me to send this to you. His name's Sean Mecca. He said, the scene where Mr. Turner is in the hospital after his motorcycle accident and Sean is praying to God is the most memorable scene of mine.
Wow. You know, it's funny that you mention that, because when I actually did that scene, you know, it was a long day for me because they had to get me into that body cast.
Right.
And they couldn't do it until that scene. Mm-hmm. So that took a little while, but there, I'm, you know, basically just like a zombie in that thing on the bed, and I'm just trying not to move, and everything's itching, and I'm trying to scratch my shoulder, and, you know, so I'm kind of trying to pay attention, but I guess I was someplace else. And mm-hmm. when I've watched that clip recently, and I don't remember it being so emotionally intense.
Yeah, it was.
I think Ryder did a fantastic job on that. And that, you know, when my hand is in his and my finger moves to touch his hand, I mean, it's like, wow, I don't know that being so intense.
when really you're trying to scratch something.
Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly right.
There's the fan that asked the question. It says, howdy, Mr. Turner, right there. Shout out to Sean Mecca.
Big fan.
Huge fan.
Oh, nice. Good.
But so, I mean, out of all the scenes that you did, which is the one, I mean, to me, the most memorable one is probably going to be the motorcycle accident, because that one was really touching. But another one is where you take Sean in when I believe his parents – I guess split, and you take them in under your roof. That was one of the most emotional. But which one would you take from all the episodes that sticks with you till right now?
I think that one is a good one. But for me, the one that really kind of sticks with me is a scene between Ryder and I where we lie to each other. I tell him I'm going to be out of town. And he tells me some other lie, and we catch each other in the lie.
Right.
He's in my apartment, and I catch him. And then he says, well, aren't you supposed to be out of town or something? And the scene between him and I, because he's, you know, he's kind of a damaged young man, and he's had people leave him, and he's had people whenever there's a fight or whenever there's a falling out, you know, his world comes apart. And for me, the scene was so important to connect between, you know, Mr. Turner and Sean going, you know, yeah, we lied to each other, and I apologize. And I think originally when the script came out, I said to one of the writers, I said, listen, I really feel like I have to apologize. And I don't remember if they had an apology in there. But I was telling them, look, I lied to Sean and he catches me. And I said, and really right now there's no apology. I said, I really feel like I need to apologize to him because, you know, I should know better, you know?
Right.
So they wrote something in there where I do apologize. And I say, listen, I'm sorry. I lied to you. And I, you know, I shouldn't have done that. I should have just been straight with you. And then he said something and I say, well, you were no angel, by the way, you know, these, so. And then he looks at me and he says something like, well, are we okay? Like, should I just leave? And I go, Sean, just because, you know, you have an argument doesn't mean that you just run away.
Right.
It's like we have to work these things out and we have to make it right and we have to do better next time, you know? So I feel like that scene always stuck with me because I felt like that was the nature of our relationship. We're going to teach each other how to do this. Because I'm not a parent, so you're going to teach me how to be a parent and I'm going to teach you how to be mentored, you know? So that always stuck with me, that scene.
That in a particular scene. Wow. Yeah. Well, after the whole motorcycle accident, you automatically just disappeared. Right. You disappeared.
That's the question. That's the question.
Where did you happen? Go? What happened?
Where'd you go?
that's an interesting story. I don't know if you guys listen to the podcast, but I sort of tell this story on the podcast. After we finished my second season, which was the show's third season.
Right.
I had a little bit of a chat with Michael Jacobs about the way the show was going and what he thought of it. And, you know, it was a great season and stuff. And he goes, yeah, it's really great. And then he started to share with me a little bit about where they were going for season four, what they wanted to do going forward.
Right.
And he said, you know, you're going to really basically take in Sean and you're going to be his dad and you're going to do all these things together. And I was like, that's fantastic. I'm so excited about that whole thing. Right. So about 2 months after that conversation, I got a phone call from Michael and he goes, all right. So he goes, you're not coming back for season four. And I was like, wait,
oh, what? Goodness. What? Baking powder? What?
Yeah. What happened? Like, we just had a conversation about this. And he goes, well, the network decided that they wanted to go in a different direction. The kids are going into high school and they want to do different things. And I was like, really? Like, that makes no sense. So he goes, I couldn't save it. He goes, there was nothing I could do. And that's just what they wanted to do. And I said, well, okay. So I knew that going into season four, he was going to use me very sparingly. And I knew that was my last season. So that was basically it. And I really was upset because, well, number one, because I was leaving the show and it was a great job to have. And I really loved that cast and we felt like we were a big family. So now here I have to leave and my family stays behind, you know. But I was more upset thinking I don't want the fans of the show to think that this was my idea and that this character is just going to disappear and you're going to give him sufficient justification to leave the show. The fans deserve better than that.
Right.
And there was nothing I could do. It is what it is. And it to this day, that is like this is the way the interactions go when I meet people.
Go ahead.
By and large, it's Mr. Turner. It's such a pleasure to meet you. You are our favorite character. Where did you go?
There you go. That's it.
That's it. That's the way the conversation starts.
Right. I mean, and it's true. And it's true because once that happened, we finished the season, the whole series, and all that good stuff. After that, a couple of years roll by. My wife and I get into a little show called Dexter. Okay. And we're watching it, you know, and we're a lot of people tell us, you got to watch it. All right. So when they released it on Netflix, I said, you know what? Let's just bench watch it. So it's all season one, season two. Season three comes around. And the first person I see is Mr. Turner is a dentist. What the heck? And it was just that one episode that I saw. Yep. I'm like, Now I know what happened. He left teaching and became a dentist.
Exactly.
How did you come about that particular spot?
Well, when I left Boy Meets World, and this is the interesting thing about, you know, the nature of being an actor is when you leave a show, the number one priority is to try to get a different job, to get a different show, because you're out of a job. Now you've got to find some other show to be on or to, you know, start a new pilot or do something.
Right.
So that was job number one for me. And I had gone on to do other shows. And I think I did my own series after Boy Meets World. I did 13 episodes of a pilot that was cast, I think, the following year. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I had a recurring role on Melrose Place, and then I had a recurring role on Party of Five.
Right.
And then I had another recurring role on Caroline in the City. mm-hmm. with Leah Thompson.
There you go.
And that show was slated to get picked up for, I think, their fifth season. I was going to come back and be a series regular on that show. And then that show didn't get picked up. It got canceled. So after doing about five or so episodes of that, then you're out trying to get more work. And then one day I auditioned for this show, Dexter, which I didn't know really anything about.
Really?
And, yeah. I don't watch a whole lot of TV and I still don't. So I went in and all I got was just sides to the script, just like four pages. Mm-hmm. And I go, oh, good, I get to play a dentist. So I went in and sort of, I modeled that character, that dentist, after my own dentist, who was a real character. I mean,
Yeah.
And I thought, I'm just going to go and play Dr. Akins. His name is Dr. Akins.
Yeah.
And he was this really mild-mannered doctor who every mm-hmm. time I would go in and he'd go, do you wear your night guard at night? And I'd go, yep, every time. Well, good, way to go. That's great. So I just thought I'd have fun with it and go in and play Dr. Akins, and they loved it. They cast me. And then I found out that Keith Gordon was directing, who is the sweetest, nicest guy. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys remember some films from the mid-80s, early 80s. One of them was called Christine. Remember the show?
Yes.
He was the lead in that show, that movie, and then he was one of the co-leads in the Rodney Dangerfield film Back to School.
Oh my goodness! Another great film.
Yes, he played Rodney Dangerfield's son. So Keith Gordon was directing that episode.
Yeah,
and I was absolutely thrilled to be able to work with him. And then I did another episode of a show, and I can't remember what it was called, but Alex Winter directed it. And mm-hmm. I thought, oh, dude, I get to work with Bill and Ted. I get to work with Ted.
There you go. So any Keanu Reeves show up around there?
Yeah, heck yeah.
Oh, man.
So every once in a while when I meet people, they'll remember something else I did beside Boy Meets World.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like I said, when I saw you on Dexter, I go, please, Dexter, do not hurt Mr. Turner, please. Please do not hurt Mr. Turner.
Yeah. He's already been traumatized once.
He's been traumatized once with a
body cast, for God's
sake. Body cast. Reach an inch that he couldn't get. Now that we know, do not kill Mr. Turner. Oh my gosh. Right. Now that, you know, years have rolled by and you've gotten more and more experience, are there any upcoming roles that you're looking at that you want to jump on or?
No, not really at all.
No, you're like, I think I'm done.
No, I did. I mean, a few years ago, I retired from the business.
There you go.
It's kind of a long story, but I just felt like the business changed and I changed. And I just kind of felt like maybe it's time for me to just kind of quietly step away. And that's what I did.
There you go. Yeah. And you still got the fan base that follows you everywhere. You go to these cons, you know, they're dying to meet you.
Yeah, it's amazing to me. Every single time I go, or anytime someone stops me on the street or something, they say such kind things, and they remember so incredibly vividly. Because I look and go, how did you know me? Like, how do you recognize me? And they go, you look the same. And I'm like, well, thank you. I know I don't, but still, it's just amazing that they remember and they know me even now, 30 years later.
Right. Well, it's just something that's an impact in their lives, we said earlier.
It's a marketing.
I mean, yes. It's imprinted in their mind for the rest of their lives, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's something that they think about like almost currently. Like, a lot of the people that came up to me this weekend were telling me, I'm a teacher because of you. I mean, I heard it over and over again. And I never get tired of hearing of it, because to me, it's like their lives have been changed and now they're changing lives as well.
Right.
But it's just such an impactful moment for me to say, you've based, you know, life decisions on, you know, something that I had a lot of fun doing, but it's impacted your life in such a positive way. And that's always just been, I don't know, I can't speak for any other actors, but I've always, you know, when I first got into the business, mm-hmm. I wanted to be a part of something that was memorable and had a positive impact and that people look back on with great fondness. And they can say things like this to me, that it impacted them positively.
Right.
And so every time I hear it, it's like just a dream coming true.
You see, that was a question I wanted to ask you also. Is looking back on your career, what are some valuable lessons that you've learned as an actor And what advice can you give to upcoming aspiring actors?
Oh, man. I've learned a lot about myself in terms of, you know, kind of what I'm made of. You have to grow a thick skin if you want to be an actor, because there's a lot of rejection involved. It can do sort of a number on you mentally and emotionally. Like, you do your best and you walk away and you get nothing.
Yeah.
After a while, you can start second guessing yourself. I know Dustin Hoffman has the best description of what an actor is. He said, "We're all a bunch of egomaniacs with self with inferiority complexes." So you may think you're great, but then when you do something, you go, "Do you like me? Did you like me? You didn't like me? Oh, I'm terrible. I'm the worst ever. I'm never going to work." So, you know, I learned patience. I definitely learned endurance, and you got to grow a thick skin, and you got to get up, dust yourself off, and you got to try again. Because, like I said, because you audition for 20, 30 things before you even possibly get one. So, yeah, I mean, and you got to keep going. And I'm not one who's going to tell somebody never give up.
Right.
Because I don't know if that's necessarily the right advice. It may be at some point in your pursuit of trying to become an actor that you have to face reality and say, I don't know if this is going to go anywhere.
Right.
But only you can determine that. You can't listen to somebody else to say, give it up, you suck, you're never going to make it.
Right, right.
Because if I were to just to look at the odds of it, the odds are stacked against you just before you even get out of the gate. I think it's like, if you look at the numbers, it's like the top 1% of actors that are in the Screen Actors Guild actually make a living at it.
Right, right.
So, I mean, you can't look at that and let that discourage you, you know. But when you go on an audition, I think now you don't even go on an audition most of the time. You just send in an audition tape of yourself through a media download or something.
Right.
And there's so many other ways that you can promote yourself, either on TikTok or whatever these are. Social I don't even media. Have any of these. but you can do it all now just through your phone.
Yes.
But still, it's there's a lot of rejection involved. So you've got to be ready for the long haul, and only you can determine when it's time for you to do something else or pursue something else or whatever.
That's great advice. That's real good advice.
As far as the Boy Meets World cast, do you still stay in contact with the cast?
Yeah. Yeah, we Will and I, like I said, Will and I are like brothers. So he and I talk all the time. He's by far the funniest person I've ever worked with. He's one of the funniest people I've ever known in my life. What you see on screen is only half really of what you get with him.
Wow.
And I think, and I don't know if I've ever said this publicly, but in my humble opinion, I think the work that he did as Eric Matthews ranks right up in the upper echelons of all time great comedic characters.
Oh my gosh, man.
The things that he was able to do with that character to make it real and not this stereotypical, you know, the funny things that he did and the lines.
Right.
I mean, he's right up there with Kramer. And Chandler from Friends, Frank Burns from MASH.
You need to give him his flowers. This is true. This is true.
Gosh. Yeah.
This is so true.
And I'm not just saying that because he's my friend and brother. I mean, I truly, he amazes me when I look at his work and go, he's so freaking good.
That's one person I would love to talk to and get really in his head, because every time I see him on the Feeny gets me all the time. But the one that gets me is the Mr. Squirrels episode. Yeah. I cannot stop laughing.
Yeah. Hilarious.
Oh my gosh.
I'm telling you, that's only the half of it. He is twice as funny by far than he is as Eric Matthews, and I'm not exaggerating.
Oh my gosh.
He is one of a couple people, my wife and him, can literally make me laugh so hard that I wet my pants. and that's not a joke.
I believe it. I believe it.
And he could do something as minor, like we could be out somewhere and he could find like a pencil on the ground. And before you know it, you're laughing hysterically by something he's doing with this pencil.
Right, right.
He's that funny.
So my question is, while doing the show, would you have a lot of bloopers because he would make you laugh or like?
No, oddly enough, we did. There was only once where he, because I was really trying, because he can make me laugh that easy. So there was one moment with a scene that we did where we catch him in the hallway and somebody says something about tests or something like that. And he goes, yeah, I'm on my way to the ceramics class. And I go, you mean ceramics? And he looks at me and he has this, because Will can do these little facial expressions that only he and I know. Right. And it's like this, it's like our own language. And he looked at me with this look, and I almost completely lost it. And he goes, yeah, the ashtray class. You can tell that both of us, if you know us really well, you can tell that both of us are about ready to laugh, but we didn't do it. We didn't do it.
No, that's awesome. Man. That's awesome. That's awesome having that connection to that. Yeah. Always that one person you have a connection with when you're at your job, and that's the best one, man. That's the best one.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah. That's awesome. Now let's turn the clock back a little bit before the acting. If the acting thing didn't work for you, what was the second option? What would you be doing?
I don't even like to think about that because I didn't have. I'd have been pumping gas somewhere.
Don't say that.
No, I'm serious. I didn't have a second option. I didn't have another option because I guess in the one sense it turned out to be motivation for me because it's like if this doesn't work, I'm in big trouble. So I just kept going, and one of the things about, you know, I always worked. I was able to work. But it's not like it was, you know, extremely profitable. And certainly there were times of feast and famine, but, I did a number of shows and series and, TV shows before I did Boy Meets World, but Boy was the first series regular gig that I got that went beyond like 5 or 6 or 10 episodes. And then when I did that show, I was thinking, you know, this is a great gig, and if it lasts 7 years, that's great. But when it didn't, I was thinking, all right, I'm just going to go do something else. Mm-hmm. And this, whatever this show is going to be forgotten. And nobody's going to remember me from this kid show.
Wow, so were you wrong about that?
Yeah. And only over time did I start realizing what a big deal it was, because people would recognize me from the show, and they would say some stuff to me, and I'd go, oh, that's nice. They remember Boy Meets World, you know, and then somebody else would, and then multiple people would. And then years later, 5 years later, 10 years later, people would still be doing the same thing. And I go, okay, so this is kind of a big deal, I guess, in a lot of people's minds. And then one day I went to this casting director's office, and this is when I realized, after all these encounters, this one really, because this one was probably 20 years later. Mm-hmm. I didn't know this casting director. And I walked into her office and she looked at me and she was pointing at me and she goes, Mr. Turner. She goes, I can't tell you what a pleasure it is to meet you. And I go, oh, that's so nice. I said, really? And she goes, you've always been one of my favorite actors. And I go, me? And she goes, my son. She goes, we talk about it every day. Every day he tells me, Mom, if it wasn't for Mr. Turner, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. And I'm literally in her office and I'm teary-eyed. I'm literally crying, going, I can't believe I'm hearing this from from some casting director I don't know. And she's giving me a big hug. And that kind of was the moment when I realized this is a big deal. That, you know, this show, that I've been able to be a part of this. That, you know, and then when Girl came out, I didn't know anything about it.
Right.
And I was still friends with Michael. And back then, I had some social media that my kids had sort of talked me into having Instagram, all this stuff. And I didn't understand how to work it. I didn't know. I was like, I would just post stuff and it's like, I don't know what this is.
What is so, this?
What is this? Yeah, I don't know what it is. And I don't really care. I don't even want to. So one day I started getting all these comments on some pictures of me and I think I posted some pictures of me and Will and maybe me and Danielle. And I started getting comments, like hundreds of comments. And I'm going, what is this? Everybody's going, wow, congratulations. This is fantastic. And I'm going, I don't know what they're talking about. I don't get it. Why is there 500 comments on this? I don't get it.
Wow.
Then I started getting people commenting saying, are you in the show, right? And I'm going, I don't know what they're talking about. And then I heard something about Michael creating Girl Meets World. And then I emailed Michael and I said, oh, okay. I said, so thanks a lot for blowing up my Instagram. I said, I had no clue. And then he emails me back. He's like, all right, let's go to breakfast. I want to talk to you. I'm like, okay.
There you go.
So then he started talking about the show and he said he wanted to bring me back. And I said, oh, it would be great to work with you again. It's been 20 some years, before, you know, the last time we worked together.
Right.
So that's how all that came about. But it was a lot of fun.
That's awesome. Yeah. So, Mr. Quinn, what are your hobbies besides you're not doing cons? What do you like to do? Come on.
I like to read. I'm a big reader. I work out a lot. I try to keep myself in shape. Now
it's I see that Under Armour on you.
Yeah. It's a necessity now than it is more of a pleasure. I have to do it otherwise. My body rebels on me and I have joint pain and all that stuff. Okay. I like to try to keep myself in shape. My wife keeps me busy.
There you go.
I like to roast my own coffee. I'm a big coffee roaster.
Really?
Yeah. That's a hobby that I got started probably about maybe 10, 15 years ago. So that stuff keeps me quite busy.
Maybe a Mr. Turner's coffee?
There you go.
Never know.
There you go. Or,
I'm saying Mr. Turner's.
Mr. Turner's. There you go. Mr. Turner's.
And have a motorcycle in front.
There you go.
Yeah, right.
You and a bike cast. That'd be great. No,
exactly.
Oh my goodness. No, but I mean, I'm really happy that I was able to reach out to you and you reached back. Having you on the show, like I said,
it's amazing.
It's surreal right now. It's surreal that I'm actually talking to you.
I'm marking it off my bucket list.
Yeah,
my checklist. I met Mr. Turner.
Yeah,
I marked for sure. Marked off.
You guys are way too kind to me.
Oh, thank you.
And having you respond back and saying, yeah, you were happy to do it. I was like, wow, this is going to be so awesome.
When he told me, I was like, what? I was like, no, this guy?
You know, yes. Yeah,
like, what?
it was something that we were, it was a shock, but a good shock. Yeah. Like, we're
good. That's good.
See, like in the beginning, that's why I did what I did. I did what I did in the beginning because I needed to get it out. Because he was like, "Don't get all fanboys or geek." Yet.
That's right. You absolutely have to. I mean, I'm the same way. I love shows, and there are certain shows that have been my favorites for years. The Dick Van Dyke Show is my favorite sitcom of all time, and when I was able to work with him, it was like. I always felt like if you wanted to know what it was to be the lead on a show and to do it right and to have all of the elements, charming, funny, dramatic, all of the things you needed to be the lead on a show, just watch Dick Van Dyke in that show because that's how you do it.
And I have a question from one of our fans right here. They're actually watching from David Garcia. Yeah. Says favorite part. What's your favorite part about conventions?
My favorite part is the interactions with the fans of the show, the people. I mean, for us, for me, I can't speak for anybody else, but I know Will's Hart and Ryder and Danielle. It's a love letter to the fans of the show.
Right.
They're so kind. And you guys, you're all the best fans in the whole world. And, you know, we love to interact with you guys and we love to hear your stories. And you're so kind. And the things that you say are so impactful to us because, like I said, they say such wonderful things about what the show has done for them and for their lives. And it's like, it's just wonderful to be able to hear that all the time and to interact. And that's my favorite part about it.
That's awesome. That's good to hear. That's good to hear. I mean, I know it's as far as being a fan, seeing the actors for the first time up close and personal. I mean, meeting them. I mean, it's you get tongue tied. You try to say something. Try not to say something wrong.
That's why I'm being careful.
You don't want to
give no, dude. Impression. Don't be. Don't. No. No. Please.
Don't, well, don't, shit. Okay.
No, but I mean, like I said before, I appreciate you coming on with us here in the podcast.
Thank you.
I know. I said I want to keep you here for a good 30 minutes, but the conversation got really good, and I know you probably have other things to do than other plans. And you're always on the go, and that's good to hear. You're doing well. I'm so happy for you.
Well, thank you guys for having me on. What?
Yeah, I appreciate it. And one final question, something for the fans, Mr. Okay. Quinn. I have one right here. It says, if there anything else you would like to say to your fans or anything else you would like them to know about you? I mean, in closing.
Nothing really comes to mind in terms of me, but one thing I would love to say to all you guys, all the fans of the show, is how much I appreciate you all. How much your stories mean to me and how much it is a blessing to me to be able to connect with you. And, you know, whenever I meet you, whether it's on the street or whether it's at a con or anything like that, to be able to hug and just when they say, can I have a hug? And I'm like, of course. It's like it's a connection that right. It's like you guys, the show was for you and you enjoyed it. And we loved doing it. And the fact that you guys remember it so fondly, to me, it's unimaginable that we would be talking about this 30 years later like this. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I just want to tell you guys how much I appreciate you all. And just,
we appreciate you. Know, you. Very appreciate you.
Also, they're saying in the comments, maybe one day you should come to a con down here in down South Texas.
Hey, I would be there in a heartbeat if you guys were willing to have me. So maybe you guys can make it happen.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to start talking to people.
I'm going to let you know, Mr. Turner. Start a campaign. You know where to find me. So yeah, let's
yes,
get
I do.
It done.
Yes, I do.
I'll let you know right now, Mr. Turner. If you're ever down to Texas.
Oh, drop it. Wait. Drop it.
If you're ever down to Texas, let me hear it.
Turner, I'm so sorry, Mr.
Let
Quinn.
Let me talk to him.
No,
Mr. Quinn.
Let's hear it.
If you're ever down to Texas, Mr. Quinn. Well, let's just say you come down to down South Texas.
Okay.
Me and my brother will take you to the best place in Dallas, Texas called Gonzalez Burgers.
Oh.
Gonzalez Burgers.
Oh, you're talking my language now.
Yeah.
You're talking my language. There's two things, pizza and burgers.
Oh,
let
there
me
you
have
go.
It.
Okay.
You let got me have pizza. It.
So I'm saying,
Mr. Quinn. Like I said, for the bottom of my heart, everybody from the RGV that's watching,
thank you
so much for joining us tonight on our podcast. Please, one day we could try to get you to come down here to one of the cons. We would love to come down here so you can meet the great people of the RGV and how much they dearly appreciate this show. And I'm pretty sure there's so many more who would love to give you a big
love
hug.
Love to have you, yes.
I would love to do it. So hopefully we can make it happen.
All right, yes, well, we will keep you on taps with that
okay, as soon sounds as possible.
Like again, Mr. Quinn, thank you very much. Hang on, do not go away. Ladies and gentlemen, big shout out to Mr. Anthony Tyler Quinn for being on the
awesome,
show.
Guys.
Oh
thank
my
you
gosh.
So much for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank
this
you.
Was a
God bless
lot
you.
Of fun. A lot right. of fun.
Yes, sir. Thank you for being on the show. Don't go anywhere. Let me just close y'all real quick, Mr. Quinn. Give me 1 second. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in for the podcast. We duly appreciate you guys, all our sponsors. Don't worry. Your commercial will be up and running after this podcast is ready to go. Those who are watching, thank you so much. Tune in on Thursday. We got another guest coming in. I'm still trying to get that situated. It's yep. Pete Capella, the voice of Silver Sonic, will be on the Chew a New podcast this Thursday. So tune in. Don't go anywhere. Make sure you tune in, follow, subscribe. And we have more people like Mr. Anthony Quinn right here. Hey, we do this for you guys so you can get the advice that you need. So don't remember, guys, tune in Thursday. Every Thursday at 7:30 p.m. Central Time. Yes, if you guys are out there watching anywhere else in the world.
You already know.
But, guys, thank you very much, Mr. Quinn. Thank you so much for joining us, having a good time with us, and we hope we can do this again soon.
Okay, we'll talk soon, my friends.
All righty, give me 1 second. Let me just sign us off here. Hold on. And like we always say, ready?
Yep.
3, 2, 1.
Ladies, Gators!
Peace out, guys. Lagi.